Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Happy Mom, Happy Baby, the podcast. Today's guest is a blogger, a vlogger, an author, and a mother of one. It's Lily Pebbles.
Oh, I haven't heard myself be described as a mother of one.
Haven't you? Cute. I mean, you're almost a year in.
Literally 5 days, I think.
Wow.
I know. Thank you for having me, by the way. This is so exciting. I'm such a huge fan of the podcast.
But that's what I love, because you genuinely are. But even before
literally
you were
since
pregnant.
The first episode.
Yeah. But that, I just love that, because, you know, people talk about who listens to the podcast and if it's just mums, or, and actually it's not just mums, and you're a massive, well, you show that.
Yeah, well, I was one of those people that I felt like I needed to prep myself becoming a mum for like 5 years beforehand. So I was very into this podcast before having a baby.
And then you came to the live show in London.
Yes. Oh my God, I forgot about that. I did, with my friends. That was so nice.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, I love the fact that you've come along and you know exactly what this is all about. No, I love it. You must feel prepped to do the podcast. I imagine that you could just do a little monologue right now and I don't even have to ask any questions.
No, do you know what? You say that. I'm quite nervous.
Are you?
I feel like it's all been a bit of a blur. Like, I've spent today trying to, like, remind myself. Like, I keep quizzing Rich, like, what happened in week one? Because it all is a bit of a blur, really. But so I don't know. Let's see what happens, I guess.
There's no right questions. Whatever comes out your mouth. I always think as well, though, with podcasts and interviews, it kind of depends how I'm feeling that day. So if you ask me the same question a different day, and I might give you a different answer.
Yeah, definitely. So, and I always finish thinking, oh, I wish I'd said that.
I know. But that, I think that is also a mum thing now for me, because I generally leave everywhere not having finished a conversation. So I'm kind of like, or I'm leaving and they're going to think that, but actually I was leading to that, and, you know, overthinking myself. Yeah. So, Lily, what was your childhood like?
I was very lucky. I had a really lovely childhood, full of, like, music and a bit of travel. And I'm the youngest of three girls. My sisters are 10 and 7 years older than me.
Oh, wow.
So I was very much a mistake. My mom says a happy mistake. She literally admits it. So there was quite a big age gap, which I think was actually quite nice. And my sisters are so furious with my mom for having another baby that they were given the job of choosing my middle name, which is why I'm called Lily Pebbles after the Flintstones.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize that was your middle name. I love it.
Yeah, because they were 7 and 10. So yeah,
little did they know females. that was actually gonna, you know, help you in all sorts of ways.
Yeah, they know about it now. They're like, oh, thank you to us.
So were you a close family?
Yeah, really close. But it's funny, we're really not like a touchy-feely say I love you type family, but we speak every day. Our family WhatsApp group is like on fire, like every day, and we see each other like all week. So yes, very close, but my sisters are all, like, they clash a lot, so I'm very much like the peacemaker in the family.
Yeah. Sisters.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really funny.
I met
though
her. She's lovely.
She'll love that. It's so funny because my family, I guess we've got a family WhatsApp group, but it's fairly tame, and we speak once a week all together now because of the, you know, the way the world is. We all have a Zoom chat where we literally just talk about what we're eating that day. That is the main chat. But when we're together, it's very touchy-feely. It's all I love you. It's all, so it's funny how you are constantly talking all the time, but not that way, whereas we're the exact opposite.
I think my, like, dad I can't even remember now what it was about. My dad once said, like, you've done well, quite proud. And I was like, oh my God, like, because we just don't do that in my family. We're just not, I don't know, we're not like that.
Yeah.
We just know it. Like, we know we love each other and we are so there for each other. And we, like, me and my sisters all live in the same area. We're so close. We see each other all the time, but we're just not like huggy.
Yeah.
We don't say it. It's funny.
That's really interesting.
Maybe we're very English, you're very Italian.
That's true. Did you ever think like ahead, and did you think about what it would be like to be a mum when you were younger? Did you want a family?
It's funny because the question I get the most from like my viewers is, how did you know you wanted to have kids? And it's just not something I ever like considered.
Really?
I just knew I was going to have kids. And I don't know why I never thought about it. Obviously, because I have older sisters, they've got 5 kids between them. So I was an auntie 5 times before having my own. So I just knew. But for me, it was always like a logistics thing. I wanted to have a baby when I was like, I was so like naive about it. Like, I really thought that you just like decide one day and you have a baby. Like, I want to have it when I like got my first house, or, you know, when I thought the time was right. And I used to think I'd be like 27. But when I was 27, I was still living at home with my parents, so that didn't happen. But I always knew I was going to have kids. Yeah, definitely.
Had you met Rich by the time you were 27?
Yeah, we met when we were 19 on the first day of uni.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know this about you.
We met on the day we were signing in, literally, like, where you go and you fill out your form. So, yeah, I spent the whole 3 years saying to everyone, I promise we didn't come to uni together. Because like, I thought that we just looked like that couple that had, like, gone to the same uni. I was like, no, we literally... I refused to live with him the whole time. I was like, we are going to have a proper uni experience. So we didn't live together, but, yeah, we were together for the whole 3 years.
That's crazy. To meet on the first day. And then as soon as you finished, did you move in together as soon as uni was over?
So when we finished, because he's from Suffolk, so I was a bit like, what's going to happen now? And like, we both studied marketing. So he wanted to go into marketing. I thought, well, you're not, what are you going to do in Suffolk? And he wanted to move to London. And by that point, I was like, well, I don't really want you to like spend all your money on rent, because I can like imagine one day we might want to move in together. So he actually moved in with me and my parents and ended up living with us for 5 years. This is very typical, like, Jewish daughter thing to happen. Move in. I think all my sister's boyfriends have moved in at some point.
Really?
Actually, my brother-in-law is very proud of the fact that he never did.
Okay.
So, yeah, he lived with me and my parents. But, like, luckily by that point, my sister had moved out. And my parents are still in the family home, so there was space for us to be there. And they prefer him to me. Like, he does the dishwasher. He's very good to live with, so... It was nice. It meant they like formed a bit of a relationship.
That's really nice. Because also, I guess that those lines kind of blur of it being your parents, because they then become his friends.
They're so close now. It was a bit like, at first it was a bit like, oh, we're downstairs in the evening and my mum's like in her pyjamas and this feels a bit weird.
Yeah.
Or like one time we were watching a TV show and it just like got really inappropriate watching. Like, I think I was out and he was watching it with my parents. Awkward. But by the end of it, they're really close. And like, my dad did a speech at our wedding that made me realise, like, I think that was really, really amazing that they did live together, actually. Yeah, and they're really close now. So
cool. After the wedding, well, having babies, was it something that you two spoke about?
I don't really remember, like, having proper chats about it. I think we both just knew that was going to happen one day. But I think after we got married, we did start talking about like when, and like I said, it was a very logistics thing. Like, we were really obsessed with like moving. And I think that was our way of saying like, we wanted to have a baby, but we were saying like, oh no, we want to move next year. Actually, do you know what? I think we started trying for a baby before we even moved, because I kind of got a bit... I think I did wake up one morning and think, actually, do you know what? I really want a baby, which I didn't.
Well, also, was there a part of you that... Because I had this where you spend so long trying not to get pregnant and then there's that big switch and you're just kind of like, oh, hold on. It hasn't actually been that hard not to get pregnant all this time. So what if there is something...
When I started, yes, that's actually what started it. One of my best friends went through IVF. And before that, I had no idea about any of that, because luckily both my sisters didn't struggle at all. So that really like blew my mind, and I couldn't believe, and I thought, oh God, it took her like years and all of this. So I thought, okay, maybe I'll start talking to people about coming off the pill and what that looks like. And it like really shocked me how little I actually knew about getting pregnant. And like you said, you spend your whole, like, I think I'd been on the pill for like 10, 15 years, maybe something ridiculous. Literally spend your whole time, people like, don't get pregnant, don't get pregnant. It's actually quite hard to get pregnant. Like the window of time is ridiculous. Like the fact that we have to use contraception when it's like, they're fertile like every day, we're not.
Well, it's, I think, isn't it, even if you have sex at the right time and everything is completely, you know, ideal for both sides, there's still only a 30% chance that it happens.
And my friend who struggled, you know, she was on the pill and it hid. She didn't know that she had any of these issues because of that. So I did think, maybe I should come off the pill and just see what's going on. And I came off the pill and I didn't get my period for like 3 months. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. I thought, everyone says like, don't come off the pill, because if you come off the pill, you're super fertile and you get pregnant straight away. Like, turns out, yeah, you might get pregnant straight away, or the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, it's one or the other.
Yeah.
So that was like really, really strange. I started looking into it. And by that point, I decided I wanted a baby. So it's really frustrating once you get it in your head, because you become, everyone's like, don't stress, don't think about it too much. Just, you know, don't try, but try. Like, that's not a thing. Like, you know exactly when to try. So it's impossible to be relaxed about it. And my like cycles were all over the place. So I found that quite stressful.
Did you have to go and see a doctor or anything about it?
No, well, they say like, unless you struggle for a year, you shouldn't. Yeah. I think I might have like gone speaking to my gynecologist, but I spoke to a friend who started to explain to me about like how ovulating works, which is ridiculous at like however 30 or something. I didn't even know about how it worked. And I started using like ovulation sticks and just trying to work out when I was ovulating.
Lily, I can imagine that you are a lot like me and you get quite hooked on peeing on sticks.
Oh my God. And once I figured out you could buy them on Amazon and stuff, like, oh my, although I was living with my parents at this point, remember, so that was quite tricky. But yeah. And I'm just not a chilled person in that way. Like, I can't just like see what happens. I wanted a baby. So I wanted to make sure, you know, I was doing it right at the right time. And it was quite stressful. Like, and it felt like a maths test.
Yeah.
And when I realized I'd like missed the slot, Rich was like, oh, and I was like, was it my fault? Like, this is too tricky. I can't work it out. It's like a numbers game. So anyway, it only took about 7 months, which is really not long compared to some people, but it just felt long.
I think when you're in it, it's really hard to compare to other people and, you know, for people who've been trying for 10 years. I think it's really hard because you also have to respect your own situation and what you're going through. And I think there is that fear and that longing and that desperation, I think, personally, that comes with each month.
Yeah.
You know, and it feels, and I think it just fills you. It's like a bucket that just fills and fills and fills each month.
And I had a gut feeling that there wasn't anything wrong. I knew it was just a timing issue, but it was just frustrating.
Yeah.
And actually, it all worked out in the end. Like, I found out I was pregnant on the day we moved into our house.
Oh my gosh.
So, like, timing couldn't have been more perfect. I literally took a pregnancy test that morning. And then it was, like, moving day. Like, our friend was helping us move. And me and Rich were just, like, the whole day, like, making faces at each other. Like my friend Ben was like, oh, can you help me with this box? And I was like, I don't know. I don't think I should. It was so awkward.
It must have been like, Lily's just being really lazy today.
Literally, he's like the first person I told when I could tell people. I was like, sorry, I wasn't very helpful.
But that's amazing, because that's kind of like what you would see in a movie. And I remember when I was trying to get pregnant, days would creep up on me like, oh my God, it's my birthday. This would be amazing if I can find out this point, or Valentine's Day. These little days come up and you're like, wouldn't that be amazing if that extra little cherry on top? And you had that.
Yeah, it was. It really was perfect timing.
What was it like finding out?
Well, obviously, I'd done tests before. I'd done all the, like, the ovulation smiley, not smiley faces. I hated those ones. But I think when I saw it, it was a bit of a cliche, actually. And I don't know if I did it on purpose, but I was in the bathroom. And I remember I looked at the test and then I just looked up at the mirror. And I was, like, looking at myself like, oh, wow. And I was like, and then I thought to myself, oh, this is what they do in films.
And also at that moment, you're the only person that you can share the moment with.
And I was in my parents' house, let's remind everyone. So Rich was like, I think he'd gone to like get something because we were moving. So I like text him like, come back. Oh, I don't even remember. It was quite awkward.
Were you desperate to tell your mum?
Yeah, but I didn't know yet, like, when I wanted to tell people. I think I ended up telling her the next day. I hid the pregnancy test in a box that said Lily's handbags, and then I added, don't touch. Because I panicked that someone might open the box. So it was a really weird day. And I remember that evening when everyone had gone, I just was like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. It just felt weird. I didn't feel any different. I was like, you sure?
Yeah. It kind of creeps up on you, I think, when you first get pregnant. Those different sort of twinges and feelings that come over you. I think it kind of, well, for me it did. It crept up.
I found out 4 weeks, which is very early. And I think I spent 2 weeks being like, this is weird. Like, I don't know. I don't feel anything. And then 6 weeks came and like, bam. Wow.
Well, what's your pregnancy like?
So I actually ended up filming and vlogging my first trimester and watching it back. Oh, God, it's actually quite painful. So from 6 weeks, I felt really, really sick. And I wasn't actually that sick. I was like, I did throw up quite a few times, but not as bad as some people get it at all. And I don't even know if it was feeling sick or feeling anxious, because those two feelings are so similar to me. And also I felt anxious about feeling sick. Like, it was all just like awful. But I remember Rich was at work and I'm so lucky that I could be at home. But I would just like sit, lie on the sofa and just couldn't do anything. I also feel like I lost my personality completely. I found that bit really weird. So the first trimester was hard, and then the second trimester was less hard, but definitely wasn't this like amazing thing that everyone makes out. What do people call it, the second trimester? There's like a name for it.
There is a name for it, and I can't remember off the top of my head.
Because it's not real. It doesn't exist. People lie. It's just not as bad as the other two that you're sandwiched between. But then actually, I was saying to Rich earlier, like, looking back, it felt awful at the time. But looking back, I think I quite enjoyed being pregnant as well. Mm. Like, I liked having a bump.
Yeah, and also for you, because a lot of what you do is lifestyles. So you're used to sort of sharing photos of yourself. And actually, all of a sudden, you had something very different to share. You know what I mean? And seeing your own body in a very different way.
Yeah, well, at the beginning, obviously, when I couldn't tell people, that was quite tricky. And I felt ill and I didn't want to be a personality online. I think I kind of just went offline for a little bit, and I told a few people early. Like, I told my friend Anna, because we had an event together and I felt so sick that the only thing I could do was eat Haribo throughout, but I didn't want it to be obvious. It was like an event for like loads of our viewers, so she had to also eat Haribo to make it look normal that we just kept eating Haribo, which was very funny. But yeah, then when I could start talking about it, I had to kind of try and figure out what I wanted to share and what I didn't, because I hadn't really worked that out yet.
And I imagine you're kind of making that up as you go along.
Yeah, well, I spent like a good 5-6 years before getting pregnant really worrying about that and how it was going to affect my work and what would I share and what would I not share and what would that mean, because this hasn't been going for long enough. Mm. So we haven't seen anyone like 10 years later, like what that looks like. There aren't many people I compare myself to and to be like, oh, I want to do it like she's done it. So I worried about that a lot. And then I kind of just settled on the fact that I would just see what happens and go with my instincts and hope that I would just know at the time how I feel about it. I actually think I shared more than I thought I would about the pregnancy.
Really? Oh, well, what was it like, first of all, sharing that news online?
Amazing. It's so nice. It's so nice. Those are the good bits when you get to share like happy stuff and like, you know, you're going to get like such a positive, supportive reaction. So that was really, really nice. Everyone was so lovely and like happy for me. Although you do immediately get put in like a mummy box.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Did you have like, people going kind of saying to you, oh God, we're going to, like, some people that have been following you for like lifestyle stuff suddenly go, oh God, she's going to go all mummy on us. It's all going to be about bumps and babies. It's going to be more like G's content.
I don't know. Sure. Your friend is lovely. I don't know if my view... I don't know if anyone actually said that. I'm sure lots of people thought that. But it's also hard to control because people kind of want that.
Yeah.
What I've realised is like the mummy audience are very loud. So you quite easily get sucked into like, oh, everyone wants to know about mummy stuff. And then you realise actually it's quite a small amount of your audience. It's just they're quite loud and opinionated. So I have to constantly try and like just remind myself of the balance and what I want to do and what I want to share, really.
So a thing as well, because it's about you. So people are also invested in you. So it's kind of whatever's going on.
There's no way
life.
I could not share it.
No.
It's just from what angle and how often. And yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm kind of like sharing what it's like for me to be a mum, not necessarily what, I don't know. It's really, it's hard. I just kind of.
And you kind of touched on it as well about work and how it was going to affect the work stuff. Were you worried about being like slotted into that mummy bracket? Because
yes.
I can remember working on a teen magazine, so it's very different, but on a teen magazine, and I can remember them talking about someone on the cover and they said, oh no, she's pregnant, she won't be on the cover anymore, because it was kind of like she'd gone into a different realm and she was no longer put, like she could no longer be placed in this position. So is that a part of you kind of trying to balance that as well, or is it something that you've worried about?
At the beginning, I didn't. I was actually quite naive and I didn't even really think about how like the brands I work with might react. Yeah. But I 100%, there were lots of brands that suddenly stopped working with me. And maybe with fashion, it's kind of fair enough. If they don't do a maternity line, they don't really know
how to work. I'll fit into that dress. I'll fit into it.
But I think there's a lot of beauty brands as well that worry that if they work with someone pregnant, then... you know, is it okay for women's pregnant skin, or will people assume it's a stretch mark product? Like, there's a lot of assumptions like that. And that's quite tricky. And I couldn't control who wanted to work with me and who didn't.
Yeah.
And that's still something I try and like figure out as well. People tend to, like I said, put you in a box like, oh, she's a mum, she must be a mummy blogger.
Yeah. One thing I have read or seen you talking about was the fact that you were quite, after wanting a child for so long, you were actually quite scared of birth.
Terrified. And I completely blame my sisters.
Well, you knew too much.
Too much. I knew way too much. And you know how people like to share the scary stories?
Yeah.
Like, imagine they're right here in my family. And so they've got five kids between them. So that's five different birth scenarios that I knew. And the first one, my sister Jojo, she's actually the younger one, she had her first when I was at uni, and I like went to the hospital and I saw the like red light flash and all the doctors run in, and I remember I had to like go in the waiting room and have a Coke because I felt a bit faint. So like that wasn't a good introduction to like what I mean, and it wasn't even that bad, but it just felt like really traumatic for someone that knew nothing about giving birth. And then like the aftermath and like, oh, I won't share. It's her stuff.
Sorry, Jojo.
Sorry, Jojo. So yeah, I definitely knew. I mean, it's funny. I say I knew too much. Like I knew nothing in reality, but I only knew the scary stuff, really.
Yeah. And also, I wonder if also there's that thing about siblings where you do overshare because there is that the barriers are completely down. But then there's also that other part that kind of enjoys telling your siblings the gory stuff to kind of almost shock them a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. You wait till it's your turn.
Yeah.
So I was terrified until I got pregnant. Like, I'm not joking. I think I spent 10 years I would just put it off in my brain because I was like, I'm too scared. I was obsessively watching One Born Every Minute. Like, I was obsessed with those sort of programs. And when my friends had babies, I wanted to know every detail. And then I got pregnant and actually I suddenly wasn't as, it's weird. I don't know why that happened. I wasn't as scared anymore. And then I started looking into like hypnobirthing and like it completely changed everything for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still so surprised at like how it completely flipped everything. Like I did, Positive Birthing Company.
Yeah. With Siobhan, who's
with
lovely.
Siobhan,
yeah.
Amazing. And I'm so not that person. Like, I'm a really cynical, sarcastic, negative person.
But that's the thing, isn't it? Because people think it's quite a hippie-ish type thing to be doing, and it's absolutely not at all.
Literally, the breathing bit is just one tiny bit of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's so not... Most of it's just about science and learning what giving birth means, which is something we should learn in school, but we don't really.
Yeah.
And I was just fascinated by that part. And also... I found it so important for teaching Rich how he can support me, because we're very supportive, like, as a couple, but he didn't really know, like, he was like, oh, I don't really know my place here. And it just totally taught him.
Well, and men are kind of mocked quite a lot in those sort of scenarios because they can't do anything. They don't know what they're doing. You know, they're usually pictured fainting or whatever. And actually, the thing with hypnobirthing is it does give them a role.
It literally gave us both, like, tools to... It gave us confidence to go into the hospital and kind of know what our options are and what to expect. And also it doesn't, everyone's like, everyone makes fun of the birth plan, but it doesn't tell you that to make a birth plan, that's what's going to happen. It just encourages you to think about what you would like. And then it tells you options of, if that doesn't go to plan, here are your other options. I just thought it was so brilliant. I'm so like pro hypnobirthing, which I used to, I'm sure I would have made fun of it at some point in my life. Like, it's so crazy.
But
now
literally,
I just make all my friends do it.
That's the thing. So I remember being pregnant first time around and announcing it, and three different friends who were completely different all told me about it. And I was a bit like, oh God, come on. Like, what is this? What is it? Mm. And then looking into it more and being a bit like, oh, and then kind of going to Tom quite nervously about it and kind of going, oh, I found this, not knowing what he was going to make of it. But it is brilliant.
I also had a few friends who had had babies before, and I noticed that the ones who had kind of gone first and didn't really know what to expect had slightly more like a traumatic experience and looked back at it and gone, oh, I wish I'd done that. I wish I'd done that. And then it just felt like the more knowledge you have, the smoother it went, maybe.
And you're someone who does like to prepare.
I'm a control freak, you can say.
So did you feel, as your due date approached, did you feel more and more prepared?
Yeah, I really feel like the hypnobirthing really helped me. I didn't feel scared, and I thought I would, and I really didn't feel scared. I actually felt excited, which is just the most bizarre. I remember saying at the time, like, I feel really excited, and that's so weird.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, when the first contraction happened, it kind of all went a bit, like, mental. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm not as calm as I should have been.
breathe, you're fine.
I think it's because that's probably the only part of hypnobirthing that didn't work out for me, is that it's very much about stay at home for as long as possible. And I didn't feel safe at home. As soon as it all started, I wanted to get to the hospital and I felt really panicked at home. And actually, the minute I got to the hospital and was in that room, I calmed down. So now I know for next time that I'm obviously just not the sort of person that can do home births or anything like that.
Well, it's that thing. So a lot of people have kind of said to me when in the different pregnancies, oh, what about a home birth? And for me, I think it depends how you feel about hospitals. In my head, you go to hospital to be looked after, to be cared for. So it is a safe place in my head.
Yeah.
So I'm exactly the same as you. And when it came to third time around, I was like, I'd love a home birth, but I know I'm safe in hospital and I feel relaxed there.
Yeah, I literally was like, I'm going to stay at home for as long as possible, pass me the TENS machine. And then it must have been like an hour in, and I was like, get me to hospital. And I felt much better once I was there.
How was your labour?
It was good. I look back at it as a positive experience. And I ended up with a C-section. So I think some people who haven't had babies are a bit like, really? Because they just think C-section must have been a disaster. But I think it was a really positive experience. I did like 10 hours in the pool, which is ridiculous. All I had was watermelon and a bit of coconut water.
Did that feel like a long time, or were you completely unaware of time?
Yeah, completely unaware of time. Oh my God, everything was just so different. Like, I planned what I was going to wear, because I was like, before having a baby, I was quite like body conscious. And I was like, I don't want anyone to like see my boobs, or I don't want to be naked. You know, I had like this mother care nightie that had buttons for with after, like, I'd literally thought of every detail, and I was like, I didn't want my mum there. And then in the end, like, of course my mum was there, like, absolutely. And I was just walking around like naked, like, I just didn't care at all. It's so funny, like, looking back. No, it didn't feel like 10 hours, but I really liked being in the pool. And I was born in the bath in the 80s, which was like unheard of. So I really wanted to give birth in the pool, but also I was like, whatever happens, happens. My blood pressure ended up going up, and even after giving me medication, it wouldn't come down. So they were like, we have to go up the labour ward, which was fine. And it's definitely less like, when I went up there, I was like, please, can we still have like the lights dimmed? And Rich was like, spraying this spray. But it did help. It felt ridiculous, but it did help.
Did they let you dim the lights?
Yeah, the midwives up there are a bit more like, okay, God, one of those come up from the birthing pool. But they were nice. And it did help. And I pushed for so long. I got all the way to 10 centimetres and then they realised that she was back to back.
Right.
And they were like, she's never going to come out no matter how long you push for. So that it was an emergency C-section, but it didn't feel like an emergency because she was fine.
Yeah.
So they just took me in and got her out. And I was a bit like, it was hard because I had to recover from kind of both births. Like, obviously, I didn't literally give birth to her that way, but I had, like, afterwards, I remember saying to Rich, my face hurts. I couldn't figure out why. And it was from the pushing and the clenching.
Oh, yeah.
And everything hurt from the 10 centimeter labor. But then I also had C-section. So that was quite tricky.
Yeah, your body feels battered afterwards. I totally forgot that.
God. Oh, my God. I couldn't. For a week, I had to, like, hold my. Did you have any C-sections?
No.
I had to like hold. You have to like hold yourself in because you feel like your guts are going to fall out. It's
well,
so
to be
bizarre.
Honest, even when you go the other way, like you're holding on when you do a number two, like you're seriously like, please do not have any organs falling out.
Now I've got the fear like, if I manage it that way next time, that's like going to be like first time.
No, you've already got to 10 centimeters. I wouldn't worry. There's no point worrying now.
But you know I will.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do. And start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to. Courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
First of all, did you know that Grey was going to be a girl?
Yes.
Oh.
We did find out. A lot of my friends don't. One of my sisters did, the other one didn't. I always wanted to. I didn't. You know when everyone says, oh, there's so few surprises in life? And I'm like, pushing a baby out seems like a bit of a surprise to me. Like, I think, you know, that's enough of a surprise to me. I just knew that it would help me, like, imagine it more.
Yeah.
And it did. It kind of helped me just, like, think about what it's going to be like. I didn't care, you know, I'm not like going to buy everything pink or blue, but and also I just didn't want people guessing for the whole 9 months. That was really annoying me, like, oh, it's definitely a boy, like that really annoys
me. I've got to
me
say that is the most annoying thing ever when people are like just looking at you and sizing you up and you're just like, shut up. At least you could say,
I'm so tempted to let people do that and then be like, yeah, I actually know it was a girl. So yeah, we did find out.
My mum's one of those people, and I know my mum listens to all of these, but she does that thing where she's like, I'm telling you, 100% that is a boy. 100%. I'm like, Mum, you don't know. It's a 50-50 chance.
So my mum thinks that she can read scans and see, like, because, you know, you're not looking for, like, a willy. You're looking for, like, a slight, like, tilt or something.
Right.
And she thinks she can read scans. And so when we went for mine, she went, let me guess. And she was like, girl. And the doctor was like, yes. And now she really thinks she can. And I'm like, no, you can't. You're not. So when friends, like, send me scans, I don't show her. Because I'm like, Mum, they don't want to know the sex. And you think you're some kind of, like, reader of it.
So what was it like when Grey finally arrived and you saw her for the first time?
It was so weird because we were in the operating theatre, and by that point, like, I mean, we still had our, like, hippie music playing, which was hilarious. Rich said, can we have the lights dimmed? And the doctor was like, no, it's like an operation. But we did have our music on. They didn't give her to me straight away, which is a bit annoying, but she's absolutely fine from
it. Did you see her head up above the sort of sheet thing?
Yeah, so because she was back to back, they opened me up and she's like looking up, which, can you imagine how mental that is? And there's all these bright lights and I was like, oh God. But they took her away and Rich went, I was like, go with her. And they did whatever they need to do. And then I was a bit like awkward, like, when you watch One Born Every Minute, they like give the baby to the mum, but it is awkward because you've got this sheet thing quite high up. So I let him, I was like, you do skin to skin with her. So he held her and I just like looked over and he was bawling his eyes out. And I was just like, oh my God. And he never cries. Like, he cried when he proposed to me and I was like about it. Actually, since having her, he cries at everything. But he never used to cry.
That's the bit in One Born Every Minute that makes me bawl my eyes out every single time. It's when the dad goes.
I know. And it was so weird looking over at him, like holding her. Are you crying now?
My eyes are watering anyway, but it has made me very emotional.
He's holding her crying. And I was like, whoa, this is so surreal. Like, Rich is a dad. Like, I remember thinking that. And then they gave her to me and she was crying. And I just went, I was like, I can't remember what I said, but I was like, hello. And she just stopped crying. And I was like, oh my God, I'm a mum. That's so weird. She knows I'm her mum, and I just thought it was so cool. I just couldn't stop smiling.
Yeah.
I wasn't crying. He was crying. I was just like, this is so crazy. And then they like wheeled us back to the room. And I said to my mum, I was like, do you want to know her name? She was like, okay. I think she knew it was going to be something weird. And I was like, Grey. And she went, And that was the highlight of the day, I thought. Me and Rich still laugh about it now.
Have you spoken to her about it since?
Oh, yeah, every week after I was like, are you used to it yet? And she's like, a little bit. My grandma was like, Grey, such a sad color. Couldn't have been like pink. I'm like, no, her name's not pink. But seriously, it's like not the weirdest name in my family. So me and my sisters like to pick strange names for our kids.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't. I just pick straight, like, standard names. I could remember saying to a neighbour, because they'd asked what we had, like, name-wise, and I told them a few, and he was like, oh, okay. So, yeah, okay.
My parents called me Pebbles. Like, it's their fault. They started this. I don't know what they were expecting.
So what was it like when you finally got to hold Grey properly? And did you feel that instant bond?
I always think, because I don't remember not feeling it.
Yeah.
I don't remember feeling, like, overwhelmed with it. I just remember feeling like this is quite normal and it's nice. Yeah. And she's cute and it's mental. And I was just like, I was on such a high from, like, that was so crazy. I was really, like, happy. And then I just suddenly got really tired.
Well, because there's so much adrenaline pumping through your body, and all of a sudden that all kind of goes. And
it really felt like that. I felt like an adrenaline rush. I wasn't like overwhelmed with love, but I wasn't like, oh, I don't, like, I wasn't in shock. So it just felt nice and comfortable.
What was it like seeing your mum with her after she got over the name thing?
Cute, nice. That's still my favourite thing now, seeing other people enjoy her. It's so nice. And everyone came to, like, visit. I mean, I don't know. The days after having her, just, like, awful. I think that was the best. Like, when I just had her, that was lovely. And then, like, the week after, it was just awful. And then it got, like, nice again.
Well, did you get visitors at the hospital as well? Or did everyone wait until you got home?
Yeah, I think... So we went in the hospital twice. So it's quite hard for me now to remember the difference. We got rushed back into hospital because she lost weight.
Right. A lot of weight.
Yeah, it's funny, before having a baby, on my list of things that I'm not going to talk about online,
all the things that I now feel really passionate about talking about. Like, I was like, I'm never going to talk about how I feed my baby. And now I'm like, oh my God, I need to talk about breastfeeding all the time to people because it's nuts how little we know about it before we have babies. So yeah, I had a baby and the midwife's amazing, like amazing. One of the midwives is like, she's like this little feisty cheerleader with curly hair and I loved her and they're incredible. But there's something in the system that's missing and going wrong and I don't know what it is. Whereas once you've had your baby, you kind of forgotten about a little bit. And I don't know, like it's harder to get a driving test and like you have to pass a test before you can drive a car, but you can have a baby and just go home and not have a clue how to feed it. And I did NCT and I did a breastfeeding class and it is irrelevant before you have a baby. It means nothing. Even if you have sisters, like I remember saying, why didn't you tell me? And they're like, we did. It's just, you didn't hear it because it wasn't relevant to you then. So I went home and I thought I was feeding her fine. Oh, sorry. And day three, when they weighed her, she'd lost like 15%. And in the UK, the baby can't lose more than 10%.
Yeah.
Which even that is hard. Like it takes a while for your milk to come in.
Yeah.
Most people I know have this issue. But she'd lost a lot of weight and we got rushed back in. And oh, it was just so, it was so hard. I ended up spending like hundreds of pounds on a on private breastfeeding specialists. And oh, I've got this photo saved in my phone. I show when like I have friends that are new mums and they just feel so alone in it. I showed them it because I got rushed back into hospital and immediately I just got put on a double pump. And it was one of those double pumps. It didn't have the bra bit. So I had to hold them and I was just topless and people were coming in and out to change the bins in the room. And I had no dignity and I had no control. And me and Rich were just sobbing. We were just sobbing. The room was over 30 degrees. It was summer. My feet were swollen. She was so sleepy because it was so hot. So she wasn't feeding. And it was just like, it was just awful. Like I would give birth every day again rather than that whole breastfeeding like issues I had at the beginning. It was so hard.
Did you feel like you'd failed?
I didn't even know. By that point, I didn't even know what I felt like. I wasn't even that in. I wasn't bothered either way. Like some people are very passionate about wanting to breastfeed and some people are passionate about wanting to bottle feed. I just was like, I'll see what happens. No pressure either way. And then I just kind of got sucked into it. And at no point did I stop or did anyone stop me and say, right, what would you like? How do you feel? It was such a panic of like, okay, now you're going to pump every hour and then you're going to breastfeed her, top up with the bottle of the milk that you've expressed. And then an hour later, you're going to pump again. What? And my at one point, my sister came in and she was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I don't know. I'm just doing what I've been told. And then, okay, great. So she's put on weight because you've been pumping every 5 seconds all night and you haven't slept for two nights. So now you can go home. Okay, now what? Now I've been pumping for every hour. So my boobs think that they're making milk every hour. And then I go home and I stop pumping because I haven't got the pump. It's at hospital. Oh, then you get mastitis. Like no one tells you these things. So you're like, okay, so now my boobs are engorged. I'm crying in the shower. I've got every infection under the sun. And like, am I meant to carry? I just felt so alone in it. And then this weird thing happened. Before having a baby, I always thought that other people pressure you to breastfeed. But I didn't expect myself to like be putting the pressure on myself. I felt completely, I remember one night I just burst, I was crying. My sisters came over and I said, I just feel so trapped. I was like, I'm in this like weird routine where if I don't keep feeding, my boobs are going to kill me. And I'm so scared of that pain again. How do I stop? I've been searching the internet for advice on how to move from breastfeeding to formula and I can't find anything that tells me how to do that. I just don't know what to do. Like I felt so lost and lonely in it. And lots of different advice from people. Thankfully, finally, I found a breastfeeding specialist that helped me. And actually by 5 weeks, I think we had figured it out. But by that point, I think I was like emotionally scarred from it. I didn't enjoy it and I didn't want to. And I remember saying to my sister, oh, but everyone keeps saying it's so much easier. Like we're going on holiday in August. That was 3 months later. And everyone keeps telling me that it's so much easier to breastfeed on the plane. Like I think I should keep going because everyone keeps telling me it's easier. And she's like, Lily, it is easier in a way, but bottle feeding isn't that hard. And she was like, and also some of the things, you know, like she said, I found it so easy to breastfeed for a year, but I still woke up every morning and I stunk of off milk.
Yeah.
Like, there's still hard bits, even when it's easy.
Yeah.
Like, everything has, like, it doesn't matter. Bottle feeding can be easy too. Mm. And this amazing breastfeeding specialist also helped me figure out how to transition onto bottles, which I really appreciated because she didn't have to do that. She's a breastfeeding specialist. And that's what I needed. I needed her to explain to me how to do it so that it wouldn't hurt.
But also that her helping you in that way would have made you see that you have not failed. You're doing what is best because you are feeding your baby. You know what I mean?
I knew that. Like, I knew that fed is best and I knew all of that information. But it was like something, I just felt so trapped. I didn't know how to get out of it. It was so weird. And also, like, a weird part of me enjoyed it, even though it was, like, painful and I hated it. I kind of liked it. It was so weird. And the breastfeeding hormones are mental. I would literally, like, burst out crying out of nowhere and, like, sobbing, and I couldn't stop.
What was it like between you and your sisters? Because I wonder if it's the same as it was with me and my siblings. I felt like when they came over, I was able to just go, ugh! And there's this raw thing that happens between siblings the way you've never been before.
Yeah, seriously, it made us so much closer. And I remember just every day saying, I'm so sorry I didn't bring you food. I'm so sorry I didn't do, like, I just was such a rubbish. I had no idea when they had kids. No idea. I really thought I knew. I was so smug before, like, oh, I know, my sister's got kids, I know what's involved. Oh my god, I had no idea. And I felt so guilty for, like, not being there for them more. And they were so good. Like, they didn't come over and just put all of their experience, like, well, I did this and I did this. They just gave me enough advice of, like, it's going to be okay, or she's going to be okay. Yeah. Or, ugh. So important to have that support. I've got a WhatsApp group with two of my friends now, even a year later. Like, every day we speak and we just send each other, like, oh, she's not napping. I think we're going to change the nap to 1:30. What do you think? It's just so boring, but it's like, so essential.
It is. And I think those WhatsApp friends, and I think the pressure of not even having to meet the WhatsApp friends and meet up with them is so important. Yeah. Just knowing that they're there, you can dip into the conversation, but they don't request anything from you. They're not, like, wanting more of you.
Yeah, because friendships do change a bit. You don't want them to, but they do for a little bit, because when you've got a newborn baby, it's quite hard to sit at a table and have a conversation with someone that hasn't also got a newborn baby.
Lily, I hate to tell you this, but I mean, I'm 6 years in. It's still quite hard to sit down.
You feel guilty, don't you? Because you don't want to be that friend that, like, had a baby and changed, but halfway through your sentence, you've forgotten what you were saying. Yeah. Or, like, you're talking, but you're also kind of, like, trying to figure out if they're breathing at the same time. You're not really listening. And you haven't asked them any questions about themselves and you feel quite bad about it. But that's why it's so nice going out with new mums, because you just interrupt each other and you don't finish sentences and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're so right. Once you'd sorted out feeding and had that switch over to a bottle, did things settle down? Did you feel a lot calmer with everything, and did you feel sort of happier?
Yeah. And I'm so lucky, Rich's company, he got 3 months paternity leave.
Oh, wow.
Which is amazing. So he split it. He did 6 weeks at the beginning. And then he saved the other 6 weeks to do when I wanted to go back to work. In my mind, I thought, I'm going to take 3 months off, which is unheard of in what I do. Yeah. There was no one else I know that's done that. 2 weeks is the max I've ever seen anyone do. And I just thought, I can't do that. So I was terrified. I thought, I'm not going to have a job to come back to. But I also thought that, and everyone says this still now, like, oh, it's so great you work from home, so you can just, like, have the baby there and you can do your work. And I think I thought I could do that too. You really can't. Like, I tried that. I did one day of that and I just broke down because I felt so guilty. I wasn't doing the work properly. I wasn't doing the mummy thing properly. Oh, it was awful. So after that, I was like, never again. So having him around for those first 6 weeks, I mean, I just think paternity leave, I can't believe it's 2 weeks. It's just not... it's not enough, especially if you have for any situation, but with a C-section, you're not allowed to drive for 6 weeks. So what do you do after those two weeks when your driver goes back to work? You just don't leave the house. And I think having him around made me more calm. I mean, it definitely did, which I think rubbed off on her as well. Yeah. And I think that made her a much calmer baby. Like, if you're just left after 2 weeks and you're panicked and you're scared, that's going to, like, rub off on the baby as well. So I think paternity leave is so important.
What was it like when you first came back then and recorded a video?
I think this has only recently happened, where I just couldn't think of anything else to talk about other than like nappies and baby bags. And I tried so hard. I remember I'd like maybe a 5 months in, I'd sit there and think, oh, can I talk about clothes? No, they don't fit. Can I talk about makeup? No, I'm not wearing it. Can I talk about food? Like, oh, I just eat takeaway. I just couldn't think of anything. And I was like, oh my God, is this it now? Am I just baby? Like, is this all it's going to be? And like everyone kept saying, like, 9 months, 9 months. Like, when she's 9 months old, you'll start feeling yourself again. And I was like, not convinced. And it really was about when she was like 9, 10 months, something switched. And I was like, oh, I feel a little bit more like me today. I don't know what it is. I don't particularly look that different, but I just feel more like me. And now gradually I feel like me again, which is so nice. But for a while I was like, I can't think of anything. And I had to keep thinking. I'd go and post something and be like, oh no, I just posted something about a baby. I need to post something else. I just couldn't. It was so crazy.
Have you had any judgmental comments? And how have you handled those? Because I think when you're talking about a product or something, it's very different to what someone's talking about you as a mum or your, you know, and how you're handling things.
Yeah, luckily I've done this for such a long time. I'm definitely quite thick-skinned when it comes to it, and I usually know when something's gonna like create some like DMs, and people are gonna have an opinion on everything. So there's definitely some stuff that I don't share.
Well, it's like I think on your first videos back, I think Gray has a dummy in, and you say something like, "Yeah, I know she's got a dummy in. It's fine. Like, let's get over it."
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's really interesting. They're already like preempting the fact that someone's gonna say it.
Compared to my friends, sometimes I'm a bit jealous that they might get one friend say like, oh, you're doing it wrong. But I get like hundreds of people. And so like I once mentioned when she was 4 months old that we had started putting her in her bedroom in the evening because she was screaming and crying when she was downstairs. And she was actually much more settled when she was in like a dark, quiet room. And someone messaged me saying, if your baby sleeps in a room that's separate to you and they can't hear your breathing, they'll stop breathing. And I know that it comes from a place of like love, like, and I even find this now as a mum, it's so hard not to project your own fears and your own experience onto like, when my friends have babies, I have to really try not to say like, make sure they don't lose weight because they get rushed into my closet with a big pump and like project it all onto them. So I know how it feels, especially now. But at the time I was like, you've just sent me a message saying that my baby's going to die. And that's really horrible. Like, think about how I am as a new mum. So there's only been a few occasions. Like, I posted once when she was in a sling and I got loads of messages saying like, she's in the sling wrong, her knees should be above her pelvis, should be in the M position. And like, it's quite helpful, but like, it's constant. Yeah. Like, I'm constantly being educated by hundreds of people, which is quite intense. And it's
to be honest,
to not,
that
like,
made me stop
everything.
Wearing a sling. Well, because I was just worried all the time then. And yeah. I was like, but you overthink it too much.
And what about your friend Sally down the road who isn't on Instagram? Her baby's been in a sling for like 9 months.
I mean,
like,
no one's doing a Ryan Reynolds, so we're all fine. Do you remember that photo?
Oh my God,
where the baby's
yeah.
legs aren't in like an M or a W at all. They're literally just straight.
But like, who knew about the M thing? I feel like I'm just constantly learning everything there is to know about everything, yeah. Which is a good thing as well. But I'm like, I messaged my friends. I'm like, did you know that the position has to be in an M? They're like, no. I'm like, oh, hey, now I'm just.
See, that's the thing,
everyone.
Isn't it? It's that difference between informing someone in a helpful way, yeah. and kind of going, you're doing it wrong.
And I'm so lucky. I've got such a nice audience, and I think because it's been such a slow, gradual growth, yeah. and like it's a real community. That 95% of them are lovely. And if someone phrases it slightly wrong and they're a bit judgy, I think I'm like old enough now, yeah. wise enough, been on the internet for long enough that I'm just like,
yeah,
whatever. If something really upsets me, I just tell Rich, we talk about it for about 10 minutes and then that's it.
Yeah. So being so prepared, and did you have loads of different opinions also thrown into the mix that kind of confused you? Because I was someone, I love reading all the books about everything. And then different people give you advice, but it's all kind of jarring with each other. And you kind of get a bit lost at some point. You kind of go, oh, what should I be doing?
Yeah, I didn't read books because I know so many people with babies, sisters and friends. I thought, oh, there's going to be enough people. Like, that's what I found when we were shopping for baby stuff. I'd ask people, what mattress did you buy for the cot? And one of my friends would say, oh, we bought this organic bamboo one for £300. And my sisters would say, oh, we bought the Mothercare one for £100. So I'd go, okay, I'll get the one for £180. Like, I'd just go in the middle. I'm that person. I love to, like, ask people. I find it hard to make decisions by myself. So I'm constantly asking people's opinions. Rich hates it. He's like, oh, your whole family are, like, giving opinions. I'm like, what should... He gets really overwhelmed. I'm like, oh, who cares? Just, like, listen to the opinions and then decide what you want to do with them. I'm quite good at that. But there is a lot. And when those times where I was quite hormonal and the feeding and stuff, it does get a bit like, oh, but if I go to bottles, then that person said when their baby or that person... And you have to remember that every baby is so different.
Yeah.
And I've definitely learned that now. Like, Grey is her own person. Yeah, but then me and my friends still WhatsApp all the time, sharing advice on naps and feeding and stuff. I quite like the opinions.
Well, yeah, I think it's having opinions and knowing that everyone is just doing what's right for them and that it doesn't mean anything if you're doing something different. It just means that you've found a different way that works for you and your baby. It doesn't mean that your friend is there going, well, I do this and you're wrong. That's not happening.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know what I was going to say there.
How has having Grey affected yours and Rich's relationship?
It's made us so much closer. It really has. And, like, I feel like we laugh, like, every day now. We weren't that, like, we've been together for a long time, but we weren't that, like, coupley before.
Yeah.
Like, we'd always choose to go on holiday with other people instead of just us. Or, like, we loved going out for lunch with friends. But I feel like Grey has, like, really taught us how to enjoy time together. And, like, now it's just us three, and, like, especially now in, like, lockdown, we've really, like, learned how to just enjoy being at home together. And we've, like, bonded over her even more. And he's such a good dad. Like, after I gave birth, I bought him a present. I bought him a coffee machine. Like, I was just like, you were amazing. I couldn't stop talking about how great he was, which I really thought that I was going to be like, oh, I'm amazing. But I was just so proud of, like, how amazing he was. And he's such an amazing dad. So it's definitely brought us closer, which is so nice. It is lovely. I'm so gushy now. I used to be so, like, cynical about everything. And now I'm like, oh, life's great.
What was it like? We haven't talked about weaning that much, actually, I don't think, on the podcast. What was it like giving food? I've got to say, I love this phase of, like, those discoveries of food and everything going on the floor. And it's an absolute mess, but just going with it.
Yeah, one of my best friends literally started weaning her baby today. She sent us a video. It's so cool. I was excited, again, getting all the opinions from all my friends who had done it before.
What did you do? Did you do baby led or did you do spoon? Or a bit of both?
It's so funny because you just, like, you plan for it and then you forget that they're not robots. Like, I was like, right, I got all the puree stuff and I had the little nook things and I pureed every vegetable under the sun. And she just was like, she had no interest in puree. She just wanted to do it all herself. And I was like, oh God, I feel like a lot of people do baby led because they want to. Mm. Like, I was forced into it. I didn't want to do it. She wanted to do it. So she just wanted to feed herself, which it took a while. Like, because the first few months, she wasn't even, like, swallowing food. And she was just, like, gagging on everything. And it was so stressful. And then once she actually figured out how to swallow the food, she started to really enjoy it. And she's an amazing eater now. Like, she eats everything. It's crazy. It's really fun. She's got me really into cooking, actually.
Really?
Like, I never used to be that into it.
And how do you do it? Do you cook it for all three of you or do you cook her something completely different?
Well, the food that I make her, we could definitely eat. But I haven't really worked out, like, timings-wise how to do that because she eats early and then we tend to batch cook for her because then we don't really have to, like... When we're not in lockdown, in normal life, Rich works part-time now.
Yeah.
That's something he ended up doing. So we found it easier to just know, like, oh, tomorrow she's going to eat this and get it out of the freezer. Especially for him on, like, his days. He'd, like, just get it out the night before. So we tend to batch cook her food and keep it in the freezer. But she's so easy. Now she's getting older, I know that I can just look in the fridge and probably make something for her.
Yeah.
Like, she had, like, fish curry today. She eats better than us.
That's so good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've really enjoyed it, actually, more than I thought. It was a bit stressful at first, like the whole choking versus gagging thing. That's another thing no one really warned me about. But once I started looking into it, you just grow in confidence, don't you?
Yeah.
And I think second time around, like now my friend's doing it the second time, I think it's more fun. You like, you can look forward to it and not be scared of it.
Are you looking forward to a second time? Are you? Is that something that you and Rich are already talking about? Or because I remember I got to 9 months and was like, hold it, if I had a baby now, that would be an 18-month age gap. And loads of my friends have 18 months. Like, what? I am not there.
It's funny. It is something we're talking about because the same as me. My best friend was now pregnant with her second. And I was like, I've just started feeling like me.
Yes.
And like in my head, I'm like, oh, yeah, I think probably have like a two and a half year age gap or something, hopefully. And then I'm like, I work out the timings. I'm like, wait. No, I just started feeling like me. Like, I want to buy some nice dresses. And then I really want to have like at least one full year of like being able to like enjoy my work and my career. Like, I love my job and I couldn't do it for like the whole time I was pregnant, pretty much. It was like a bit of a write off. And then there was like a whole 10 months after having her. And like, I'm now getting back into it and really starting to enjoy it. I can't get pregnant again. Like, obviously, it's such a privilege to get pregnant, but it's not fair. Like, you do it.
Yeah. It's that weird thing, isn't it? You know that it's going to shake everything up.
Yeah. And it's just such a long time.
Yeah.
It's not just when you're pregnant. It's that bit afterwards. It's like a year or more out. So now, yeah, we do talk about it a lot. We're like, oh, God, okay. But I'm not yet. I'm not ready. One of my friends has been talking about trying for a second. And I'm just like, I'm a bit jealous that she feels ready, actually. Because I can't wait. Like, I definitely want to have more kids, but I don't know. I'm enjoying feeling like me because I really hated that feeling.
Yeah. And also, it's interesting that you're saying about it taking a long time, because it really does. And I think when you do feel a bit like you again, you kind of want to cling on to it.
Yeah. But then also, like we were saying earlier, you get that fear of like, you don't just get pregnant like that. Yeah. You have no idea. So you don't want to like wait around too long either. But oh my God, my friends who have two under two, they're not selling it to me.
I can remember.
You've got like five under five. How many do you have?
I've got three. Three under six now, because Buzz is six. But I can remember being at a wedding when Buzz was 4 months and someone coming over and her just being like, get pregnant now. Get pregnant now, get it done. And then get the baby stage out of the way. But I was just like, nah, I'm not there. Not at all.
Those are quite close though, aren't they?
Yeah, just under 2 months between the first two, 2 years between the first two, months. Oh God. And 2.5 years between the third. But the third, I think the thirds are generally kind of like happy little surprises.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. It does scare me. But also it makes me excited.
Mm.
I can't believe she's going to be one. Like,
how does that make you feel? Do you feel emotional about it?
I do feel quite emotional, actually, which is weird. I didn't expect that. I mean, it's a weird time as well. It's a weird time to, like, be having your baby. I sometimes allow myself to, like, get really upset by it, and then I'm like, snap out of it, Lily, like, reality check. But I was saying to my sister, like, on her baby's first birthday, I remember we had a huge argument because she thought I didn't take enough photos. And I'd taken, like, 300 photos that day, literally 300, and I was, like, the family photographer. So I said to her the other day, I was like, remember how you felt about the 300 photos not being... Like, imagine that. Like, I can't have anyone around. So I get upset. But then also I'm like, she's not going to remember. It's just for me. And we can have such a nice day anyway. I just can't believe it's been a year. It doesn't feel like it's been a year at all.
It's a real big marker though, isn't it? And you kind of... for me, I've always... With all three of mine, I found myself getting quite reflective. Because you are suddenly... It does feel like you're moving away from the baby stage almost, like not only you've managed to do it for a year and you remember all those struggles and the pain and everything else and how you've lost yourself and you're back and you've got this little baby who you've helped grow and you know she's doing things and it's just this time, I think it's this marker where you kind of look back and you kind of go, yeah, I did that.
Yeah, I can't believe it. And I remember when she was 6 months, I said to my friend, I think this is the best stage. I think this is the best. This is the cutest age. And she went, no, you always think the current time is the cutest time. And I was like, no. And like now I'm like, no, this is the cutest stage. Although everyone keeps saying that I'm in the honeymoon bit. Like they get to like 18 months and then they're not as fun anymore.
Oh, Max is 20 months and he is definitely going into his terrible twos a little bit early.
Yeah. So I'm like, come on. We need everyone to like enjoy her while she's at this nice age.
Can you imagine? You're going to come out of lockdown and she's going to be hitting her terrible twos and everyone's going to be like, wow, what happened to Gray in lockdown?
She's learned to crawl. She wasn't crawling before this. So she's like never crawled over and like played with another baby. I'm like, I don't think she thinks other kids exist. Who knows what she'll be doing when this is all over.
Scary, isn't it? I honestly feel like that is a scary thing.
But yeah, they change so quickly every week. Like, now I understand why people are like, say how many months their baby, like, I used to find that really funny when I didn't have kids, like 18 months, like, what a weird thing to say. But I'm like, makes sense now. Yeah, they're so different.
They are. Month. Yeah. Yeah, that's totally true.
Yeah.
So I wrote a book this year called Letters on Motherhood, which is a series of letters about motherhood to my foof, to my boobs, to my husband, to the boys, to myself, to strangers. If you could write a letter on motherhood, who would it be to and what would you say?
I think I'd write a letter, and I think I should actually do this because I haven't done it. I'd write a letter to Grey if she chooses to ever get pregnant, and if she can, for her to read in her first trimester from me. Because as great as mums are, by the time your daughter's pregnant, it's been a long time since you've been pregnant. Yeah. And I think you forget a lot of the things. So if I wrote it now while it's fresh in my memory, I think it'd be amazing to read a letter from your mum talking about how she felt when she was pregnant with you. Because you feel so lonely, especially at the beginning when you haven't really told anyone. And just to read, like, how they felt and everything like that. I think that would be nice for her. I should actually do that.
Yeah. Were you nervous at all in that first trimester?
Yeah. It's funny because even though I'd never had any reason to be, every time I went to the toilet and wiped myself, I checked. I was quite nervous actually.
Yeah.
But I told people. And I just told some friends. None of my friends had done that. That really wasn't the done thing in my friendship group. But I really felt like I wanted to. And I remember talking to Rich about it. And I said, well, if, God forbid, if something happened, we would tell those people anyway. And yeah. I'd need them for support. So let's just make this time easier for us and not pretend and not hide from not, you know, stop seeing them. Let's just tell them. And it was really nice. I would definitely do that again.
It's funny, isn't it? Because that's my main thing every time. It's like, but I need those people.
I need them. I would have felt so, I mean, I already felt alone, but I would have felt even more alone. It was so nice, especially the friends who had been pregnant before. So yeah, I would definitely encourage people to do that. If it's someone you feel comfortable and you can trust, it makes it a lot easier.
I love the fact that your letter would be to Grey in those sort of those early weeks where you first found out about her. I love that.
Yeah. If you feel sick, there's nothing that's going to help. Sorry. I tried all the tricks.
Well, and every episode finishes with you completing three sentences. Are you ready?
I think so.
Being a mum means.
Okay, I'm going to have to credit my friend SJ because she said this one and she just hit the nail on the head. Being a mum means discussing the consistency of poo. A lot more with my husband than I ever thought I would. It's all we talk about. I mean, it's starting to ease off, but there was a period of time where it's all we talked about. You start off by using the baby tracker and talking about how much poo they've got in their nappies, and then they start weaning and they stop pooing altogether, and then it's like, you're like, oh my God, day 15 and there's still no poo. And then it's like, she's screaming and she's pooing. And like, you celebrate, we high-fived once about a poo. Like, I mean, it's just that we talk about.
I love that.
Since having children, I have massively chilled out and become much more relaxed, happier person, less concerned with what everyone else is doing, no FOMO, and just enjoying being in the moment. Being grateful for everything.
And I'm happy when?
I'm happy when I see Grey with my friends and family, her enjoying them and them enjoying her, which is what I miss so much.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. I can't wait to listen to it.
But you'll come off this call now and you'll be like, oh my God, what did I say? What did I
say? Seriously, I forgot this was recording the whole time. Absolutely terrified.
Thank you so much. Thank you.